Welcome back, and we bring in to talk about the Yankees, not just the Game of Thrones. We talk about the Yankees. We bring in Brendan Cuddy from the Ledger. Brendan, are you there?
I am right here, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you gonna sit on the throne for Yankees Game of Thrones night?
I'm not gonna sit on the throne. I've never watched Game of Thrones, but I can tell you, we had our own version of Yankees After Dark tonight at Tropicana Field. When the lights went out, I thought I was going to hear Barry White. I was some kind of bass line playing, maybe a little bow chicka bow wow.
So was there Barry White? So was there dancing in the press box with the amongst the media?
It was just me. No one would join me. I felt alone, like I do right now, Lori.
We're probably the only two people out there. Everybody else is watching Game of Thrones. But for those who are massive Yankee fans, and some lucky caller just won some tickets, let's talk some Yankee baseball. So, first of all, how in God's name, I know I keep asking this question, but how do they keep doing this? The no-name replacements, and this time, for all the haters who say, well, they didn't play anybody, well, there's only about five other good teams in the American League. They just beat the Twins, and now they turn around, they go down to Tampa, and they, at least to my eyes on TV, it looked like reigning Cy Young, American League Cy Young pitcher Blake Snell today, it looked like he had good stuff. How did they get to him for a couple runs?
Snell was disgusting.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
You look at him, and you know when you smell like sweaty gym socks? That's how disgusting he was tonight. So what happened was what happens to a lot of pitchers. Tanaka was great tonight, but he gave up that solo homer.
Mm-hmm.
Snell just happened to miss his location on three different spots. Three straight Yankees hitters got to him. It ended up being a 2-0 advantage by the time Snell was out. Now, Snell only threw, I think, 96 pitches. He hasn't thrown that many pitches in a month. There's something going on with him and his pitch limit. I don't cover the Rays, so I don't know 100%, but they were being careful with him. 12 strikeouts tonight. He was great.
He also had that broken toe where he dropped the sink or something on his, I don't know. He did something in the bathroom, dropped something on his toe and missed the start. But so maybe that, I don't know. And I get it.
Yeah, he's probably working his way back from that.
He's a young pitcher, and I understand they want to watch him. But still, I also give the Yankees credit. You know, you talk about the 96 pitches. Is early on he was efficient, but then it did seem like second time through the lineup. And you know, we're not talking about, you know, the Aaron Judges of the world. You know, we're talking about, you know, the, you know, Gio Urshela definitely struggled against him, but guys who were, you know, whether it's, you know, Mike Tauchman, you know, guys who were up there battling.
You're talking about DJ LeMahieu. If you watch mm-hmm. the single he hit to bring in a run, that second run,
mm-hmm.
that was super deep in the zone. He didn't catch it until the last second, probably 96-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, outside part of the plate, just pokes it past first base. Some of these Yankees players, they know their role, and they play it well. LeMahieu, you brought him in to be a contact guy. So much contact. You brought in Luke Voit to draw walks and hit for power. He's doing that. You see in the ninth inning, Thairo Estrada, he's a guy with some crazy pop for a guy who's probably 5'7". He's like in Toe's body, Ronald Torres' body. But like he's a strong guy, so it's all just guys who are doing well at the things that they're good at. Does that make sense to you, Marty?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just guys who are performing to their peak when the Yankees need them to.
And I'll tell you what struck me is there was a really good interview. I'll credit her pregame with Meredith Mrokowitz. Talked to Cameron Maben, who's only been with the Yankees for a couple weeks now. And she asked him the question, anything surprise you over that period of time? And he actually did say he was surprised. And he said that the culture around the Yankees and how it is so about winning and the team winning and not about individual stats, and how much this group of guys, how much they like each other, that he felt like even just a couple weeks in, he's good friends with these guys and feels like they're all pulling for him. He said that was unusual compared to other places he's been and being around the league as a veteran. Does it feel like, I mean, I know a lot of these guys are going to lose jobs when the stars come back, but does it feel like there's something special in terms of the chemistry of this club?
Yes, except that's kind of been the chemistry of this club, I would say, for the past 4 years, 5 years. Mm-hmm. I've covered them for 6 years now. My first year, that was Derek Jeter's last year. It felt kind of all about Jeter. But since then, this has been a very tight, cohesive clubhouse, and that starts from the top to bottom. CC Sabathia, he's a team guy. Brett Gardner, he's a team guy. You look at the $8 million they spent on him this offseason, you wonder if the money's worth it, but at the same time, you don't bring so much to that clubhouse. I paid extra attention to it this season, and he's just such a leader, and everyone looks up to him, and just the entire culture in there, they see that winning something and winning big is possible. And no matter who you are, they're going to pull for you.
Now, you mentioned Tanaka before, and Tanaka's a guy, we've seen him struggling with the split finger fastball this season, and that's been his signature pitch. Today it looked like he threw it more. Was that something that you asked him about after the game, and what did he say about that splitter?
I mean, that's something that bared out in the numbers. Mm-hmm. He was getting way more swings and misses. They were having a way harder time making contact against it. Yes, Tanaka's splitter had been a problem for him a lot of this season. It's also his bread and butter. You know, if you see Aaron Judge go through an 0-for-20, you don't absolutely freak out because, you know, at some point, he's going to figure it out. Tanaka, when it comes to his splitter, that's something he's been throwing since he was 18 years old in Japan. And today, he attacked with it. He hit a spot with it. The bottom was falling out of it. You saw Rays hitters with two strikes. You know Tanaka's going to throw the splitter. Everyone knows Tanaka's going to throw the splitter, yet they still swing at it. They're still over top of it, and it's still a strikeout.
Talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Ledger about the Yankees, and the other big noteworthy thing in the game to me today was, you know, the bullpen's been terrific, but Chad Green obviously had struggled, got sent down to the minors, and worked stuff out, obviously. Strikes out the side, looks fantastic, and, you know, is it safe to say Chad Green is back? Can we conclude that?
No.
Not yet.
We can't conclude that. But what we can say is he looked great Sunday night. He also looked great 7-1. He looked great against
the team
that was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
He looked great doing what he does, throwing that fastball, throwing it with authority, trying to elevate it, doing the Chad Green thing. Can we say he's back yet? No.
You got to see it high leverage.
We can say Chad Green is back when it's the seventh inning, mm-hmm. and the Yankees are up 3-2 in a game, and he comes in and you know, middle of an inning, strikes out two guys. That's when we know Chad Green is back. But for now, against the Rays, you know, with that huge deficit, tonight they just wanted to get his feet wet. You could have seen the situation where they avoided him today and let him open for Jonathan Loaisiga tomorrow because he'd been opening at AAA, mm-hmm. just to get him regular work. But the Yankees signaled that they clearly just want to get him in the game, want to get his feet wet, want him to get used to pitching in those late innings because they know how good he can be. He's not all the way back yet because we haven't seen it, but tonight was very encouraging.
All right, I'll call it a leading indicator. And we'll see. We'll see. Fair enough. When it's high leverage. All right, so Aaron Hicks going to be coming back to the Yankees, starting to get at least a body back in the position players. So Aaron Hicks coming off of the injured list on Monday, tomorrow. And have they announced yet who is going to be sent down?
So I'm looking at my email as we speak. No official announcement has been made. I'm sure it'll be Mike Tauchman. I have no reason to think it'd be anybody else, but that's the guy it's got to be. Tauchman had that double right off the top of the wall tonight.
Yep.
He's played some pretty good defense. But you got Cameron Maven playing well. He's not someone that you can just option.
Right.
You got Clint Frazier hitting well before his injury.
Let me ask you about one guy who just, you know, in the way that they sent down a Chad Green, who's a terrific player, but needed to work things out. What about Miguel Andujar? Does it look like he is really struggling? And at what point, even after the rookie year he had, at what point do you think, if any, would they send him down to try and work things out in the minors?
Well, that's the thing, right? And I'm actually writing about this for tomorrow morning, but let's get to it right now. Andujar has a torn right shoulder labrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's still torn. The Yankees are trying to see if he can play through it. The initial results are, I think, and don't quote me on this, I think he's 3-for-34 since coming off the injury list. That doesn't sound like a super big coincidence to me. That sounds like a cause and effect. That sounds like a guy who, even if he says he's not hurt, and maybe he's not hurt, maybe he feels great, but maybe that right shoulder really just isn't firing like it's supposed to, isn't doing what it should do, and maybe he's still hurt. Now, could it be that he needs time in the minors? I don't know. You saw how good at the plate he was last year, right? You saw the hard contact he made last year. This year, not one single ball measured by MLB's StatCast has landed in what they describe as the barrel of the bat. So he's not timing things, and he's not hitting things strong. And that's scary because of what he's coming off of, and you just have to think that there's some hangover from that injury. Now, he could turn it back on tomorrow. For all I know, I'm not a doctor. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night, or whatever that commercial is. But, you know, he is definitely someone who, when he's right, is way better than 3-for-34.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, at a certain point, I think they have to assess that. I can understand sending down a Mike Tauchman, but if some of these other guys start to come back before you send down or do something with a, you know, part ways with a Gio Urshela, I don't think you'd certainly want to do that. I think you'd have
to. You absolutely can't. And when it comes to Andujar, I mean, you could definitely justify an IL stint.
Yeah.
Right? Can't you just say?
Yep.
Yeah, he's still got that torn labrum. Let's let him work things out in the cages. Let's let him go on a rehab stint to not embarrass him and, you know, not to straight send him to the minors.
Mm-hmm.
You can totally do those things. There are a lot of options on the table for the Yankees right now.
All right, the Yankees keep winning, and apparently Brendan Cuddy, I don't know, I want to see you sitting on the throne at Yankees Game of Thrones night. Always, always appreciate the time, Cuddy. Take it easy. Catch up with you soon.
Hey, listen, if I sit on the throne, heads will roll, Lori. Heads will roll.